In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. There's a story that I read in one of the sources that I look at about a monk who lost hope in the cross that God had given him. And this particular monk complained about it constantly. So God finally relented and offered him a chance to select a different cross. So he led the monk into this room filled with several crosses from which the monk was given the opportunity to pick a new one. But the monk, when he saw this room, was appalled because he saw very large crosses. He saw crosses that still had blood on them. He saw crosses that still had nails in them. So he wandered through this room, passing by all these crosses, until he looked in the corner and he found this perfect, small, ornate gold cross hidden in the corner. And he said, "I want this one. This is the cross that I want." And God simply replied to him, saying, "But that is the cross that you already have." So I ask you today, and we should ask ourselves, do we embrace and accept the cross that God has given us? Or do we try to take our salvation, or as St. Paul says, and he says this in many places, but in particular Romans chapter 5 and in Galatians, the verses that we read today and the verses subsequent. St. Paul says, do we take our own justification into our own hands? Are we trying to complete our journey to the kingdom without God's grace, without His strength, without His guidance? In today's gospel passage that we just heard, the Sunday after the exaltation of the precious cross, Mark chapter 8, we read that Jesus tells His disciples, and He tells us, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Like the monk in this story, we may not want the cross that we've been given. Or we may think that we know a better way than the path which our Lord and Savior is leading us on. This also relates to St. Paul's words from today's epistle in Galatians chapter 2, when he says, "A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." So let us take a little closer look at this verse. Whenever we hear the word justify or just or justice or justification in Scripture, we should not think of these words and this understanding, rather, of juridical or courtroom justice. We should not think of fairness and the scales of justice that we often see in courtrooms. These are all concepts of human justice. We must be careful, because these juridical concepts of God are nothing more than us projecting our human passions on theology that return to really the pagan process of humanizing God and deifying mankind. Rather, when hearing these words just or justify and similar words, we need to remember the original Greek, dikaiothomen or dikaiosyne, which translates to righteousness. We live in the Western world, and often the understanding of righteousness means to be acting in an upright, moral, and virtuous way. Of course, which is good. However, it's much more than that. This understanding of justification or just is much more and much deeper than that. Because dikaiosyne, or righteousness, has a similar meaning to several Hebrew words. Tzedakah, which means doing the right thing. It's parallel or synonymous with the Hebrew word chesed, which means mercy and compassion and love, as well as another Hebrew word, emeth, that means fidelity and truth. So when we hear the works of the law that we hear in the scripture readings today and in other places, we should think of the Mosaic law, the tablets of the law that were given to Moses by God. This law gave commandments for life that instructed the Israelites on how to relate to God and how to relate to each other. This law revealed the difference between good and evil, and it functioned as a tutor that would prepare them for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The few verses after the ones that we heard today in the Epistle to the Galatians says this. In this particular verse, faith in Christ should actually be translated faith of Christ. Dia pistios Isu Christou, faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is the absolute trust and obedience that our Lord placed in God the Father. And Jesus demonstrated this faith throughout his life, especially the time leading up to his crucifixion and his death. St. Paul reflects this in many of his epistles when he was addressing the problem of Judaizers in the early church. These Judaizers were Christians who demanded that new followers of Christ must be circumcised and follow the Jewish law received through Moses. So why do I tell you all this? What does this mean to us today, some 2,000 years later? We no longer have the problem of the Judaizers, but we still have the problem of people, of all of us at times, thinking that our righteousness is apart from Christ, that our righteousness apart from Christ can do us good. How often do we think, I did a good deed yesterday. Today I have a pass. Today I don't need to pray. This week I don't need to go to liturgy. I can probably skip liturgy this week. I went last week. I confess to God in my personal prayers, which is good, but I don't need to go to the sacrament of confession with the priest. I received Holy Communion last week or last month or last year. I'm all good this week or this month or this year. Even worse, I did something good for someone, or I attended a service, or I received communion, so now I can slip a little bit. I deserve it. I earned it. It's kind of like the way some approach dieting or fasting or any other discipline. It's their effort. Unfortunately, what we're doing in these situations is taking our spiritual life into our own hands, solely, instead of continually placing our trust and our faith in the hands of God and His Son. In order for us to be made righteous by the faith of Christ, we must seek to imitate, as best we can, His absolute trust in and His absolute obedience towards God the Father. So bargaining with God, using our righteous actions as leverage, is making the very same mistake that the Judaizers did 2,000 years ago. That is to place our faith in our works solely and only, rather than in God. To think or try to become righteous before God in order to journey to the kingdom without living in the life of the church, the body of Christ, is, as he said in the gospel today, to be ashamed of Christ and his words. We must also remember that our Orthodox Christian faith teaches a just God that is very different from our human understanding of justice. A human conception of a just God is one who is perfectly fair and gives rewards and punishments according to how a person acts. Rewards for good deeds and punishments for bad deeds. But can we really say that God is just in this way when we look at the scriptures? St. Isaac the Syrian raises up two examples, and there are many others throughout scripture. First, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard from Matthew chapter 20, as told by Jesus, where he shows that God the Father, symbolized as the householder, paying the same wage to the laborer who came at the 11th hour as to the one who started at the first hour. Does this sound just? Certainly not to the laborer who worked all day. In the parable of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, the father, which is another image of God, of the son, the father of the son who wasted all his inheritance on loose living, gives this boy a hero's welcome upon his return. Does this sound like a just, fair God? It certainly didn't to the older son. In these two examples and many others throughout Scripture, we see that God is not just according to our understanding. Rather, we see that God's justice means His goodness and His love and His mercy are abounding. And they are given in an unjust manner. One of the most often recited prayers of us as Orthodox Christians is what? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy and compassion on me. Lord, have mercy and compassion on our loved ones. Lord, have mercy and compassion on this situation. So as we understand better God's righteousness versus human justice, we can begin to see how good and how patient God has been with us throughout our life. As we may turn our back on Him and seek to serve other gods or idols, He waits for us. And when we stumble and fall along our journey in life, or we will realize we've turned away from God, maybe until some crisis occurs in our life, we run back to Him. And He welcomes us with open, loving, merciful arms. He does not punish us, but rather we punish ourselves through the consequences of our own selfish and sinful behavior. And knowing the unjust righteousness of God in this way, we are empowered to lose our life for the sake of Christ and the gospel in order to be saved by God from our selfishness and our sinfulness. So hopefully we can now understand better that to lose our life for Christ and the gospel is expressed when we deny ourselves from what we want or from what we think is best. That taking up our cross, the cross that we've been given, is to be crucified with Christ. And finally, that to place our complete trust in God is to have the faith of Christ. Faith in Christ and the faith of Christ. And thus, as the Apostle Paul says, and we heard in the epistle today, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen.